Take note, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That was the Spirit's work. It was only by the power of the Holy Spirit that he was able to not just resist the wiles of the devil, but to overcome them with an amazing clarity of thinking, which was grounded in God's word. It's so important as we follow Jesus, we think clearly. We see in this encounter with the devil how Jesus' mind was immersed in Scripture. He didn't engage in a debate with Satan, as Adam and Eve did in the fall. He answered the devil point blank with the Word of God. If Adam and Eve had done that at the beginning of time, what a different world we would be living in now. If you and I would do that when facing our trials and temptations, what a different world we would discover. Jesus' temptation was a trial of faith, and Jesus won with hands down. If we want to be like Jesus as we face life's trials and temptations, we need what he had, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It is through the power of the Word and Spirit that we become response-able people. That is, people who know what to do, how to do it, and when to do it, and our responses to life's challenges. Folks, Satan is cunning in turning our trials into temptations to undermine our faith. It's interesting to note how the nuances of Jesus' three temptations in the wilderness predate the church's age-long struggle with money, sex, and power, and John Keating's teaching on our personal emotional programs for happiness through security, that's surviving, affection, having esteem in life, and control, that's power. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights and obviously was hungry. Hunger leaves us vulnerable. Jesus was fully man and hungry, therefore vulnerable before Satan's onslaught. This is the devil's first attack, tempting Jesus to satisfy his hunger by using his power for his own end. This is a temptation all of us face, to use our power for our own ends, our ambitions, our desires, our empires, and not for the kingdom of God. This is a basic temptation around one's security and survival. We need food to survive, and Jesus was tempted by Satan to use his power to satisfy his hunger, securing his survival. Folks, most of us living in America are not concerned about our next meal. Our interest in security and survival is not that basic. So our attention shifts. It shifts to wealth, having enough money to secure ourselves. This is our temptation, security through wealth, rather than through trusting God. But for Jesus, in that moment of time, his temptation was more basic. Hunger. Satan tempted him, saying, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." This is cunning at its best. Jesus is hungry and vulnerable, and in his vulnerability, Satan attacks his identity. "If you are the Son of God." Temptation always engages the question, who am I? The son or daughter of God? Or the son and daughter of the flesh? My identity, my sense of identity, where my priorities are, will determine my response to the temptation. When we give in to temptation, it's either because we don't know who we are, or we have forgotten who we are. Satan said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God. Clever ploy, but it didn't work. For Jesus replied, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus knew who he was. He had no doubt about his identity. He was the Son of God. And as God's Son, the living Word, Jesus answered the devil with God's written word, Scripture. Having security and surviving is a basic instinct that can be as basic as simply having enough food or when the pantry has more than enough. It can become about accumulating wealth to ensure our security. Yet Jesus redirects our attention away from what we may consider the basics of life for security and survival, food and money, to something else that is just as important. Living by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus said, every word that comes from the mouth of God. Here again, when we're not sure of our identity, we tend to forget living by every word that comes from the mouth of God to picking and choosing according to our own values and lifestyles, what the Bible calls the flesh. We can be tempted by the devil and not even know we're being tempted. It's like the kingdom of God is a cafeteria, and we take what we want, and we leave what doesn't suit our taste. With 40,000 denominations to choose from, there's something for everyone. This is why it's so important to honor the apostolic witness as we seek the kingdom of God. The apostles were eyewitnesses to the resurrected Jesus, even the apostle Paul, who was born late, so to speak. We can trust the record of their experience with Jesus before and after his resurrection and their anticipation of his second coming, even though they had the timing wrong. So we're wise to take to heart Jesus' answer to Satan. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That was Jesus. Satan is relentless for with the second temptation. He again attacks Jesus' identity, saying, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Now, this is interesting. Jesus used God's word to answer Satan's first temptation. Now, Satan turns the tables on Jesus by using God's word, Psalm 91, in his second temptation for Jesus. Psalm 91 expresses the care God has for his children. And when God's affection grabs us, grabs our souls, folks, it can be life-changing. That's what those folks out in Asbury have been experiencing over the last few weeks. God's word has grabbed their souls. His affection for them has grabbed their hearts. We're reading the psalm. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. Psalm 91. God has purposed his word to affirm us and to build us up in faith. But that same word is used by Satan to distort God's purpose, turning it into a test of God. We so often fall for Satan's lie, seeking affection, esteem in the wrong places and in the wrong ways. The American celebrity culture is a statement on seeking affection and esteem in wrong ways. This need for affection and esteem has even been sexualized in our culture, which was on display just a few weeks ago when Rihanna did her halftime show at the Super Bowl. We don't have to prove ourselves, folks. We don't have to ask God to prove himself. It's a done deal on the cross. And with the second temptation, Jesus revealed his confidence in his Father's love for him, and therefore confidence in who he was, his own identity. When he answered the devil saying, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." How often do we do that in our own lives without even realizing we're doing it? Trying to prove ourselves, trying to get God to prove God's self. And this brings us to Jesus' third temptation, which the devil offered him all the kingdoms of this world and all their splendor if only he would fall down and worship him. Kingdoms are about power. Power is about control. Power is another basic human need, like security and affection. The need for power is not the issue here, but how we exercise our power is. There's a stark contrast between the use of power in the kingdoms of this world and the use of power in the kingdom of God. In offering Jesus the kingdoms of this world and all their splendor, Satan clearly didn't have God's purpose in mind. Folks, it's not possible to live on this earth without exercising power, which is why pride and power are a disastrous combination, especially when it comes to international relationships, as we see in the news today with Syria, Ukraine, and Myanmar, on the national scene with systemic racism and gun violence. Pride and power are just as disastrous when it comes to interpersonal relationships, particularly in regard to money and sex. On the deepest level, the three temptations of Jesus cover all of life: security, affection, and control, as well as their nuanced expressions around money, sex, and power. What does this mean for us? Jesus accomplished what we cannot accomplish. Jesus succeeded where we fail. Waking up to the fact that I don't have what it takes and I can't get it right when it comes to living in the kingdom of God drives me back to the cross time and time again. And this brings us to our text this morning in Romans. We read, just as though one man's disobedience, Adam, through one man's disobedience, Adam, we have all been made sinners. So by the one man's obedience, Christ, we can be made righteous, like Jesus. Christ is God's answer to the human dilemma of sin. First things first, though, I have to know that I'm a sinner who needs help. I have to know that help comes from God alone. It's right here. When I wake up to this reality, it's right here that I can really discover Jesus is my all in all. Not only has he died for my sin that I may know God's forgiveness, he has made the way for me to die to my sin with him on the cross. By faith in Christ, God credits me as righteous as I rise to new life with him and the power of his resurrection. Whatever dilemma in life, whatever struggles you're facing, whatever you find yourself in the midst of today or any day, God has the answer. Christ, like Jesus, looked to the power of God's word and spirit, even as he did on being tempted. Jesus Christ, our all in all. Jesus Christ, our security, our esteem. Jesus Christ, our power. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.